You may be seated. Guys, come on up and join me. Oh, we got more coming. Yay. Had a lot of early risers, lots of kids at the 8:45 service this morning. I'm glad to see you here today. I wonder, come on up. I wonder if any of you knows what it feels like to be left out. I have two older sisters and an older brother, and sometimes as the youngest, there were things they could do that I couldn't do when I was left out. I remember when I was in third grade, there was a girl in my homeroom class who had a birthday party, and two of my best friends were invited to her birthday party, but I wasn't invited, and it really hurt my feelings. It's really hard to be left out. I hope you've never had that feeling, and I hope you never do. But in our Bible study this morning, we meet a man who's been left out. Because of who he is, he's not allowed to worship in the temple of God. And so he's really sad about that. But you know what? God goes to find him. God sends a man named Philip to go and meet him and tell him all about God's love and tell him all about Jesus. And to say, you know what? You're included. God loves you too. And that's kind of what our job is as followers of Jesus, to try to welcome everybody and to make sure everybody knows that they're loved and included in God's love. So what does that mean? That means maybe if you're at the playground and you see somebody sitting by themselves and feeling sad, maybe you could go up and say, hey, do you want to play? Or if you see someone maybe sitting at the lunch table at school, if you're in school, and they're by themselves, maybe you could go sit with them and say, hey, I'd like to be your friend. There are all sorts of ways we can share God's love, and you guys are especially good at it. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you for loving us so much. And thank you for always reminding us when we come to church that you love everybody. You want us to share your love with other people. So help us find ways this week where we can welcome somebody, where we can include somebody, and help somebody feel your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much. You can go back and sit with parents or grandparents or friends. Ever since Easter, I've been preaching from the book of Acts. I love the book of Acts. It tells the story of how the church went from a little band of believers in Jerusalem to Samaria and beyond and beyond. And by the end of the book of Acts, we find the Apostle Paul in Rome. We see how the church grows and grows and grows. The official title of the book is The Acts of the Apostles, but some have suggested the title should actually be The Acts of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit really is the main character in this book. The Spirit is on the move throughout the whole book, changing and converting people and spreading the love of God and the news of Jesus Christ through his first followers. When we hear this story today from the 8th chapter of Acts, the Holy Spirit is really the main character. It's the Spirit who moves Philip to go to that wilderness road. It's the Spirit that guides their conversation and leads this man to ask to be baptized. So the Holy Spirit is the main character. But I'm also pretty interested in these two supporting actors. We have Philip and the man from Ethiopia. Now, who were they? What are their stories? Well, you might think that Philip was one of the 12 disciples. There was one of 12 disciples whose name was Philip, but that's a different Philip. This Philip, in this story, is a new Christian. He was a Greek-speaking Jew who came to believe that Jesus was the Messiah in the very early days of the church. And he is so full of the Holy Spirit, so excited about the gospel of Jesus, that he's willing to tell anybody. When we meet him in this chapter in this eighth chapter, right at the beginning, He is in all places in Samaria. Now we know that the Jewish people and the Samaritans didn't like each other, right? They would not sit at the same table to eat a meal. We saw Jesus from time to time in his ministry reaching out to the Samaritans, but Philip is the first one to go into Samaria and preach the gospel. And lo and behold, a bunch of them believe. And we have the Church of Samaria born because of the witness of Philip. And as that ministry is getting going, Philip hears the call of God on his life again. And the Spirit says to Philip, go to this wilderness road somewhere between Jerusalem and Gaza. Philip doesn't ask any questions. So full of the Holy Spirit, so excited, he just goes where he's led. And there he sees a chariot with an odd-looking man in it. A man unlike he's ever seen before. This man is from Ethiopia. And my guess is perhaps that Philip had never seen anyone from Ethiopia before. So what do we know about this man? We only get about a verse of description, but the verse tells us a lot. We don't know his name, unfortunately. All we know are the labels that he's been given by his society. He is from Ethiopia. He is a eunuch. Now, we don't know the whole story, but it's likely that at a young age, perhaps as a child, his parents decided to dedicate him to the service of the queen, the Candace. And so at a young age, probably he was castrated and then educated so that he could then serve in the guard of the queen. We know that he's well educated because he's reading the scroll of Isaiah. And obviously he's risen up the ranks because he is now head of the queen's treasury. He is a wealthy and powerful man. He has his own chariot, for heaven's sake. So he's there in all his splendor in his chariot, and Philip goes to meet him. But we can fill in some other blanks of his story as well. The story tells us that he had gone up to Jerusalem to worship. Now, he would not have been a Jewish person by birth, but there were Jewish people living in Ethiopia. So maybe somewhere along the line, he had heard about the God of Israel. And there was something about this God that stirred him, and he wanted to know more, and he wanted to worship this God. And so he went to the trouble, the expense, and the time to travel all the way to Jerusalem to worship in the temple of the God of Israel. But my guess is when he got there, he didn't have a great experience. Maybe initially, someone recognized that he was a foreigner, that he wasn't Jewish by birth, and so they might have said to him, now, you can go into the courtyard of the Gentiles at the temple, but you can't go any further than that. You can't go where the Jewish people go. You just have to stay on the outskirts. And maybe as he walked up the steps and got ready to go into the temple, someone recognized that he was an official of the queen's court and that he was a eunuch. And then someone said, I'm sorry, you can't come in at all. Because you see, it says in the 23rd chapter of Deuteronomy, in the law, that anyone who is a eunuch is not allowed in the assembly of God's people. So he had gone all that way to worship God, to grow closer to God, and the door was slammed in his face. I wonder if that's why he bought a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. It wouldn't have been cheap, but maybe he bought that scroll so that he would have some link to the story of this God, some way perhaps to connect with this God. And so there he is in his chariot, making his way home, rejected and alone, trying to read the prophet and make sense of what the words meant. And that's where God sends Philip. God sees this man who has been rejected because of who he is. Something about himself that he cannot change. And God loves him and chases after him and sends Philip. And Philip goes up to the chariot. Bless his heart, he runs up to the chariot. He's so excited to meet this man that God has led him to. And they begin to talk, and the man invites him to get into the chariot, and together they read the prophet Isaiah, and Philip begins to tell him about Jesus and the love of God that has been made known to the whole world through Jesus. And then the man comes to believe. He accepts this love for himself, and then he asks Philip what to me is one of the saddest questions in all the Bible. What is to prevent me from being baptized? What I hear in that question is there anything about me that would make me unworthy to be baptized? You know who I am. You know what I am. Can I still be baptized? Can I still be included? And Philip, God love Philip. He doesn't even say a word. He just takes this man, and together they jump into the waters of baptism. And that man's life is transformed by the grace and love of Jesus Christ, and the church is transformed. Suddenly, the church that was this big is now this big. You know, the Christian church in Ethiopia is one of the most ancient churches there is. And I think it's because of this man who was chased after and included and welcomed, and he went on to spread the gospel in Ethiopia. One of my favorite composers in the church right now is Mark Miller. He's a United Methodist, son of a preacher. And he's writing all sorts of anthems and hymns that, to me, speak so profoundly into our 21st century church. And one of my favorite songs of his is called Draw the Circle Wide. It's a very simple lyric that is sung over and over again. Draw the circle wide. Draw the circle wide. Let this be our song. No one stands alone. Standing side by side, draw the circle wide. That's our mission, my brothers and sisters. We are called to be like Philip, to go and seek out those who've been rejected, those who are alone, those who are lost, and proclaim the good news to them that they are beloved, that they are worthy, that they are included. There are so many people right here who feel alone and rejected and who have on their hearts that question, is there anything about me that would prevent me from being included? There are people in the condominiums just on the corner here, lonely and asking that question. There are people sleeping on the benches at Centennial Park, lonely and asking that question. Am I included? Do I belong? Is there anything about me that would prevent me from being welcomed? And our joy, our purpose, our mission is to go and tell them the good news that there is nothing that would ever prevent them from being fully included in the love of God and the life of the church. Draw the circle wide. Draw the circle wide. No one stands alone, we'll stand side by side. Draw the circle wide. Draw the circle wide. Draw the circle wide. No one stands alone, we'll stand side by side. Draw the circle wide. Draw the circle wide.
Draw the circle.